So this is James Newberry, and I'm here with Dr. Scott McClure on June 23rd, 2021 at the Kennesaw State University Center, and I appreciate you sitting down with me.
Not a problem.
Making the trip from Rome?
Yes, not a problem.
Do you agree to this interview?
Yes.
All right, I appreciate it.
Yes.
So could you tell me your full name?
Full name is Kerry Scott McClure.
And what's your birth date?
My birthday is 6/11/66, June 11th. Yep.
Where were you born?
I was actually born in Canton, Georgia, at R.T. Jones Memorial, which I think has changed name since then, because when I came through, I guess they had stopped delivering babies there in Jasper, because most of my sister and a lot of other relatives, they were born in Jasper.
Because there was a hospital there.
Yes,
in town.
Yeah, there was a hospital there.
Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up in Pickens County?
I grew up in kind of like the city of Jasper. It was right down the street from the city jail. You know, it was in walking distance to the elementary school that I attended. Matter of fact, I could stand on my front porch and see the library, the back of the library of our school.
What was the street?
It was more Main Street.
So you were on Main Street?
I was on Main Street, and then we moved, I think I was about 12 years old, to Birch Street, which was still in the city, but it was close, it was called the Woodbridge Inn there in Jasper. It was down in that area. So,
was it a sort of mixed area or a predominantly black area, white area?
It was mixed. It had a good mix. We were probably 6 black families that lived in that area. Mm-hmm. So it was a good mix.
What kind of house did you live in?
My dad built a 3-bedroom, regular framed house, wood framed house. 2 baths, garage, carport with it was a wooded lot. So had a small, yard, but a lot of woods around us.
I see.
That's what my dad liked.
And what were your parents' names?
My dad's name was Robert McClure, and my mom's name was Kathleen McClure.
What was her maiden name?
She was a Mackey. Her maiden name was Mackey.
And what did your dad do for a living?
My dad worked for Lockheed Aircraft. He was there for 35, 37 years. He retired from there. And then he did a lot of odd jobs there in town in Jasper. He would clean like the local drugstore we had there. It was back in that that time it was called Rexall Drugstore, and then Jasper Drugstore. He also worked for the funeral home there in Jasper. At the time it was called Chapman Funeral Home, but now it's Roper Funeral Home. So he continued to work there as well. So he worked for Lawson Chevrolet, just did a lot of little side jobs in the community.
Do you know what he did at Lockheed?
He was a trainer in his last few years there. He worked in management as a trainer.
And how did he go to work? Just drive a car? Or?
It started out even before I was born. We had like one vehicle, and my mom would take him sometimes to Canton to meet some other guys that worked there in Canton, and then they would commute on to Marietta. Sometimes we would even drive all the way down, and you have to remember this was before Interstate 575, so we were coming down Old Highway 5. We would leave, and sometimes we would meet him at the intersection of Highway 41 and Highway 5 there in Marietta. He would catch a ride that far. We'd pick him up, or she would drop him off there. So as time progressed, more people in the Jasper Tate area started working at Lockheed. So there was a guy that purchased a 15-passenger van, and they started commuting from Jasper all the way to Lockheed. He had about 15 riders.
Goodness. So do you know how long that trip was before the interstate?
It was a good hour and a half, hour, 35 minutes, I remember. Because as a child, you know, you didn't pay much of attention, but I can recall, you know, it taking quite a while because my mom would get off her job like at 3:30, and we would try to make it to pick up my dad by at least 5 o'clock.
So do you have a sense, I mean, was he content to make that trip? Would he have preferred a little closer? Do you know?
He was pretty much content, but then we tried to move closer in the area. We, because I remember one time looking at a house in Woodstock, and it just, at the time, you know, it just didn't kind of fit in what he was really wanting to do. And at the same time that we were looking there, more people were being employed, so he had more opportunities to drive or to carpool with, you know, some of the other guys in the area.
I see.
Yeah.
And do you remember 575 coming in? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What sort of hubbub, fanfare was there, and how did it change people's, I mean, there's the obvious, like, it made it quicker.
Yeah.
I mean, was there any other change that you recall related to 575 being?
I could just remember some of the older people in the community saying, look out, you know, here comes Atlanta, because they knew that, you know, things were about to change. They knew that the interstate was about to bring a lot of growth to the area. And, you know, some of them were just set in their ways. You know, they weren't really looking forward to it. But I think that once it happened, they saw it as a blessing rather than a curse.
Okay. And what did your mom do for a living?
My mom worked in manufacturing most of her life. She worked for a company that dyed yarn for carpet, because in the Jasper area, Dalton area, there were a lot of carpet mills during that time. So they supplied the carpet mills with the yarn. Then she worked for a company called HD Lee that made the Lee jeans. Mm-hmm. It was located there in Jasper. Then she worked for a company that it's called the Jasper Shoe Plant. They made Converse back way back when, you know, the Chuck Taylors. Mm-hmm. That was their biggest product that they produced. So needless to say, you know, I had a lot of Lee jeans and a lot of Chuck Taylors to wear.
Yeah, it was a benefit.
It was a benefit, yeah.
And how long did she work in manufacturing? At what point did she retire?
She did that for, she was probably in her late 40s, because she started having some health issues, health concerns, congestive, you know, heart failure. Mm-hmm. And she got to the point where she had to come out of working just because of, you know, disability. So,
I see.
Yeah.
And in the area where you were growing up there, sort of behind the Woodbridge Inn, I mean, that's very close to downtown.
Yes.
Did you have any family members in the area that you were living?
No family members in that particular area, but they were on the, say, the west side of town. Had, you know, grandfather and uncles that lived there on Richard Street, South Richard Street, I believe was the name, but it was close to downtown as well.
And your grandfather, was this your mom's father or your dad's father?
It's my dad's father.
So how long had your family been in Pickens County, do you know?
My dad said that they had been there quite a while, 1870s, somewhere around in there. On my dad's side, they were the McClures, and then they were related to a family. It was called Patton. That was an older family that was in that area. Then my mom, she moved in with her dad and other siblings from Lafayette, Alabama, which is, I think, maybe just south of Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And they moved into the Tate area. So a lot of my mom's family lived in the Tate area.
I see. Do you know what brought your dad's family to the area? Do you know why they came to Pickens County?
I'm not real sure.
Your mom's?
No, my mom, I think just, you know, better opportunity. Because my granddaddy on my mom's side, he worked for Georgia Marble Company. So there was a lot of migrants, migrants that moved into that area to work at Georgia Marble. So a lot of the men in that area, Tate and Jasper, worked at Georgia Marble.
What was your mom's dad's name?
His name was Wyatt.
His last name?
Mackey.
And do you know what he did exactly at the company?
I'm not sure, but I just recall him talking about, you know, working in the marble quarry. So he really didn't go into a lot of details during that time. And, you know, I was young, so I probably didn't talk to him much about it.
And where did they live in Tate?
They lived in an area that's called Smoky Hollow. That's where my understanding was the guy that owned Georgia Marble, his name was Sam Tate, and he had built a lot of houses in that area called Smoky Hollow, where a lot of the employees lived, their families. There was a church there that was provided, Mount Calvary Baptist Church. So I just recall, you know, going through the area, and I mean, there were houses on both sides of the road. Some were even kind of up on embankments, those type of homes. I don't recall any of them having indoor restrooms, indoor bathrooms. So.
You mean like outhouses?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No one had. Trying to think, they may have had indoor plumbing, but not restrooms, not bathrooms.
So this is like the 70s?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So say, for example, you're visiting your grandfather, Mackey, and you need to use the restroom, it would be in an outhouse.
Well, he actually lived with us in Jasper.
Okay.
Yeah. So during the time that he was around, he lived with us in Jasper.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the houses in Smoky Hollow, what did they look like?
They were like open concept. You may have had a big family room and then a little small kitchen area. And I remember most of the bedroom areas were kind of large. You just had several different beds in the in that particular room.
I see.
Just based on, you know, how big your family was.
So tell me about attending church there. You attended Mount Calvary?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what are your earliest memories there at Mount Calvary?
Well, I just remember going there, you know. We only met once a month because at that time we only had worship service on the third Sunday of every month. We would have Sunday school would start like around 10, and then our morning worship would start around 11. And then once a year, we'd have a revival that went from Monday to Friday. And then like in the month of June, we would have VBS that would last from Monday to Friday also. So it was a pretty small congregation. But the thing that made that area kind of unique was there was a church in Jasper. It was, name just slipped me. then Mount Calvary was in Tate. Mm-hmm. And then about 3 to 4 miles further down the road, there was a Pilgrim Baptist Church. So basically, everyone went to the same church because the church in Jasper only met on like first Sundays. The one in Tate, again, was third Sunday. Then the one in Nelson met on fourth Sunday. So there was an opportunity to go to church at least 3 times, you know, out of the month.
So you would go to Jasper, then you would, I mean, and y'all did this.
Yes.
Each one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I know Calvary is Baptist.
Yes.
And these other two were Baptist.
The other two were Baptist.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then there was another church there that was AME or Methodist, Miracle Fellowship, I believe.
It was more of a Pentecostal.
Okay.
It was a Pentecostal church.
So Mount Calvary and the others, talk to me about the services. What sort of you know, mode of service, more traditional? What was it at the
time? It was more of a traditional type service, type worship. We had deacons that would lead what we'd call a devotion service. That was at the beginning of service. They would just sing songs, whether it was a spiritual or a hymn. And then they would pray. And then the pastor would, they would turn it over to the pastor. And at that time, he would call the service to order, to worship. And then I remember choir would sing at least 2 to 3 songs, you know. And they either sung out of hymn books or they were spirituals that they would sing. And remember, you know, taking up the offering, of course. And then he would preach. The pastor would come and preach. And usually we would get out of service around 1 that afternoon, you know, in the afternoon. So it was pretty full day. And back then, you know, there was no mall to go to, so it's not like you had to, you know, get out and be in a hurry to go anywhere. You know, there's very few restaurants that were open on Sunday, so, you know, you're going to get a good home-cooked meal that day.
So you come back to the house, and then would your parents, like, start cooking then, or was something ready?
Oh, yeah, it was already ready. Okay. My mom, she was old school. Either the night before, or she'd get up early that Sunday morning. The only thing she would have to cook maybe would be cornbread or something.
And when what was the you know, meat and the what sort of veggies?
Usually it was, you know, it was the old faithful chicken. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it would be roast beef. We always had some kind of vegetable, whether it was green beans, cabbage, the turnip greens, the collard greens. I was not really that fond of vegetables at that time, you know. So I was more just the meat and the bread.
You know? So did your parents keep a garden, or did they go to the, you know, grocery store or supermarket?
My dad had a garden over his dad's house, the one that lived in Jasper. His dad lived in Jasper, so he had a garden in his backyard that he would plant every year. And it was kind of a community garden as well, because whatever he would grow, if he had an abundance, you know, he shared with everyone in the community. And that's the way it was. You know, other people in the community had gardens as well, and there was a lot of sharing going on.
I see.
You know, during that time. Someone may have, you know, an abundance of corn, and I mean, it was nothing to show up at home and, you know, have either corn or tomatoes sitting on your, you know, your porch where someone had dropped it off, you know, because they
that's
had
nice.
More than they could eat.
Yeah. At Mount Calvary, can you tell me the pastor or pastors when you were there as a kid? Do you know their names?
The pastor that baptized me, his name was Sam Davey, and he lived in the Atlanta area. And I'm pretty sure he was bivocational, but I'm not sure what he did other than, you know, pastoring our church. Then there was a Reverend Reynolds that was there. And during that time, I really didn't change pastors that often. And by the time Reverend Reynolds left, I had graduated from high school, so I moved on.
And the revival, you said, was 5 days. I mean, I have my ideas of revival, you know, from my own family history, from things I've read. What was it over the course of 5 days? What happened?
They would have a guest minister that would come, and he would either stay with maybe someone in the church, or he would commute back and forth from, a lot of times he's from the Atlanta area, may have been from Cartersville, just different areas of, you know, of Georgia, of the state. And we would just, again, our deacons would start the worship service. They would have the devotion, prayer. Then you'd either have the Mount Calvary choir would sing, or maybe they would invite a church from like Canton, Jasper, or wherever to come, and they would provide music for that night. And then the guest evangelist would preach. And I just remember, usually it's about 9:30 at night when we would leave those services.
It's like full day?
Yeah. Well, it'd start around 7:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you remember other sort of prominent members of the church, deacons, or the community there in Tate?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of deacons, mothers. We call them mothers of the church. They were like the elderly women. We had, I can remember there was one, her name was Miss, her name just slipped my mind. But Justin, his family, they were real prominent in the church. Because his grandmother, Miss Frances Davis, I remember her. She was a real, you know, vital part of this church there. Jackie Green, she was another lady that was a important role there. Emmett Moore, he was one of the deacons, one of the elders of the church there. Beck Howell, of course, my dad, he was a deacon there in the later years as well.
And what about the Preston and Truman Roach?
Yeah, yeah. Because my dad actually, within I guess maybe 10 years, formed a group with Preston and Truman and my dad.
Trio?
Yeah, yeah, my Calvary Trio.
Yeah. Yeah. And would they sing just there or other places?
They sung there at the church and in other places as well. They became pretty popular within, you know, when they were hitting their, doing their singing. I remember there was, you know, a lot of places they would sing, like on during the holidays, nursing homes. I even think that there was a particular time when they may have sung for, I guess it was a local station in LJ. You know, they were a part of that, you know, and they were actually singing for those guys as well.
Oh, nice.
So they were being televised in the area.
And went going beyond the church.
Yeah.
What about Willie Mae Weaver?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was a big pillar in the community. I wish she was still alive. She had so much history.
I heard.
I'm not sure what happened to it. I mean, she knew a lot. You know, she was a walking dictionary. I mean, she had all the history.
Do you remember Olin Collins?
He owned a little store there in what we call the Holler, in Smoky Holler. He had a little store that he ran. I remember that store having, of course, cookies and candy, and he would have Cokes, different, you know, variety of different soft drinks for kids. Sometimes he would have various types of meat that he would store there, sometimes vegetables, just a lot of different things.
So this was when you were a kid?
Yeah.
And do you remember how late that went on, like in your teenage years? How long did he live?
I can remember, had to be late 70s probably, when I remember him, you know, not being there. And then someone else took over that establishment, and they really didn't do too much with it, other than sometimes we'd have, I would hear him talk about having like parties or dances or whatever in that area. So
yeah.
They would, you know, they would use it for that, you know, so.
I see. So that was pretty late.
Yeah,
That was still open.
Yeah.
So tell me, let's sort of transition to your school years. Did you attend the Head Start there in Tate?
Yes, yes. I started out at Head Start there.
What age were you?
I was probably 4 then. I remember, I don't remember getting bused there. I think, I'm pretty sure my mom may have driven me there, or I rode with someone. But I don't remember getting on the bus at that age, you know, going to Tate, because it was in Tate there.
And what were the, I mean, were there classes, or was it more like daycare? I mean, like, how did that take place?
It was pretty much, there were classes. Because I remember, you know, we learned as far as our ABCs. We did art. Art was a big thing back then. Did a little social studies lesson. And, of course, we had play time. And I remember eating lunch there, you know.
So So that was a brand new building at that point.
Yeah.
And it had replaced the former school.
Yeah, I think it was Tri-City.
Right.
And that's where a lot of the blacks, or the majority of, I guess all the blacks went there, Tri-City.
So your sister, who's older than you, how much older?
She's 9 years older than me.
Okay, so she, I know, was, she had been in Tri-City, or she'd been in Tri-City and then gone to the white school during integration,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Okay, and what was that process like for her, do you know?
She was in the second grade, I believe, when the school integrated. And that's when she started going to Jasper Elementary. And I really, at that time, she would talk about, you know, of course, name calling, a lot of stares. But I just recall, you know, even growing up, my mom told her that, you know, she was never inferior, that she was just as good as anyone else and not to ever feel less than. So she got a lot of encouragement from my mom, from my parents, you know, during that time as well. And so did I as I started school as well.
So was it something that, I mean, even though this was happening before you were born, did they, I mean, it's recent history. I mean, like, you're just a few years past it.
Yeah,
I mean, was there
yeah.
still talk about, was it something that came up?
Yeah, it was, even when I started school, you know, there was always that time when most of the classrooms, I may have been the only black student in there. And you're talking, you know, 20 out of 20 kids, you know, you have one black student in there. So it came up at times, but race during that time was, I just don't recall it being a big, I mean, a huge issue, because we were all pretty much on the same level. You know, there was, now that I look back, you know, we didn't have that much, but we had just as much as, you know, anyone else in the neighborhood. So really, it was just more about surviving from that aspect rather than race.
Did you notice people who, even if it was not many of them or a few of them, that had more money than other people?
There were certain people in town that did, and their kids came to school, but I mean, they didn't hold it over your head or anything like that. We just kind of knew, because we had a couple of congressmen that lived in Jasper in our town. You know, some of the business owners, that own car lots, things of that nature. But like I say, it was pretty much, the playing field was pretty level, you know.
And I mean, other than school and maybe the occasional, you know, occurrence there, I mean, were there any other experiences of like more open racism that you encountered?
I can remember as a child, excuse me, there was a time when the word would get out that on Saturday, they said, hey, you know, the Klan is coming through. The Klan's going to be in town. And this was before we moved from the current location, you know, from where I was, the house I started growing up in, which was in the city of Jasper in town there. And I can remember as a little boy standing there on the sidewalk and actually seeing the Klan parade through the area. They were like making a U-turn so they could go back through town. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, standing there like in awe. But it, I mean, at that particular time, being young, it really didn't resonate as to, you know, what was taking place, what was going on. But I can just recall the blacks in the area, you know, on that particular day, if they knew they were coming, they would stay out of harm's way. I just happened to be outside, you know, playing that day.
Did you talk to your parents about it? Did they say anything about it?
They did, and they said, that's why we told you to stay in the house. You know, people told you they were coming, so.
Yeah. Did they have, like, advice or suggestions for when you went to school or when you went to, I mean, did you go to a white friend's house? Did they talk about anything like that?
Yeah, I went to a white friend's house. I had a lot of white friends, I can remember, it was probably 8th grade when I started, like, sleeping over at a friend's house. But it was never an issue with their parents. We all, you know, were pretty close. And that's one thing about being that town in Jasper and Tate, it was kind of close knit, you know. Yeah. We knew that there was a difference, but we just found a way to get along with each other, you know, to tolerate each other. Even in school, there was an occasional, you know, fight, but it was not anything that, you know, really was going to get any press, I guess you could say, you know.
How often did you travel somewhere, Atlanta, somewhere else? How many times did you make trips out? Was that common?
Yeah, that was common. Because, you know, we had, like my mom, she had, there was 13 of them in the family. And majority of them lived in Tate, but some lived like in Dahlonega. Some lived in Rome, Carrollton. So we were maybe at least once a month, you know, we would travel to see some of her sisters or brothers or other family members, you know. That was the thing, you know, pack up on either Saturday or Sunday.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you notice, did anything strike you that, this place is different because of this reason or that reason than Jasper?
Well, we kind of knew just from talking to the elders that, you know, LJ, there was, you know, no blacks in LJ. There was one family back, my dad told me about, they were the Roberts that were in LJ at a particular time. They live right across the city limits somewhere in that area from between Jasper and LJ. But the kids, their kids had to come to school in Jasper because the schools in LJ were not integrated. So they provided transportation for those kids to have to come all the way to Jasper to go to school. But we just knew there were certain areas that we shouldn't go to, you know. There was the LJ, Dawsonville. My mom had a sister that and her family lived in Dahlonega. We knew it was okay to go to Dahlonega. There were just, my dad always made sure that we knew where to go and on the safe side.
I don't want to press too hard, but what was your expectation? Like, if you had gone there, I mean, was it just, just avoid that? Or did you expect that you would be confronted or just an unsafe place?
Yeah, it was just that expectation was there that you could be confronted. Just be aware that this would happen. But you have to keep in mind that in school, we were going to those areas to compete, like football, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may have been, you know. But it was just, but the expectation was there. And my dad always made sure that we understood and we knew that. And even the elders in the community, you know, for our safety.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So for big, you know, community events like the July 4th event, I know that's a really big tradition in Pickens. Is that something that your family took part in?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we were, you know, it was always a big thing because they would block downtown Jasper and they would have carnival rides there. So we all would go and, you know, participate in that. They'd have always, you know, big barbecue somewhere. And then at night, they would have a big dance. But, you know, we always look forward to that because we knew what was going to happen on 4th of July.
So you were at Head Start and then you went to Jasper Elementary?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you recall any teachers or anybody that you had there?
I remember when I started at Jasper, I started in kindergarten there. My kindergarten teachers were real nice. Miss Satterfield and, I said I was going to remember these teachers. I just remember Miss Satterfield being being a teacher there. Mr. Weeks was the principal, Jim Weeks. He was our principal. And I just remember there was only one black teacher, Miss Powell, that was at Jasper. She taught first grade, and I had her for first grade. And she was the only teacher that called me by my first name. I go by Scott, but Carrie is my first name. Mm-hmm. And there was a debate. She told me, I said, my name is Scott. She said, nope. She said, your mama named you Carrie, and that's what I'm going to call you. So she was the only teacher, you know, that ever called me that. But the other teachers that we had, like Miss Shoup, Miss Grotefen, that was one of the teachers. Mr. Evans, had a lot of male teachers back then as well. But they never treated me or anyone else any different, you know. The expectation was to get the best out of us, to learn, to grow. They wanted to see us, you know, do well.
And how many grades in the elementary school?
We went from kindergarten to seventh grade.
Okay, so yeah. So directly there to high school?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so no like junior high or middle school?
No, no. Because then once we graduated or we left seventh grade, then that's when we went to the high school. And so we started high school in the eighth grade.
And at high school, what kind of student were you?
I was an average student. I could have been above average, but I didn't push myself, you know, because school was always easy to me, but I just didn't apply myself that well. You know, I was a B student. Maybe get occasional C, but the rest of the time is A's and B's. So, but I ended up being a B student. And science and social studies was my strongest subjects. So I always excelled at those.
What were your parents' approach to your school life?
That
like
I was
report cards and things.
Oh, they that I would finish, that I would do better. Because my mom knew I was a better student than what my grades often displayed.
Yeah.
She said, you're not even trying. You're just going through the motion. So she, you know, she was, they were both real big on education. You know, quitting was never an option at any point in time. My junior year, I had reached all my credit hours for high school. And going into my senior year, I got bored with school. There was nothing for me to do. I played football, so that was good for me. But probably about a month after we started my senior year, I told my mom, I said, I'm ready. You know, I need to change. I need to do something. So I ended up going to Pickens Tech, the technical school that's there. I think they've renamed it now. It's Mountainside or something. But I ended up doing kind of like a dual enrollment. So I went to the tech school and took up electronics.
Did you expect to go to college?
Yeah, yeah.
And so this was something to do that senior year to
yeah.
get some, maybe some early credits for
to
college.
Get some, yeah, to survive, to keep from, you know, dropping out potentially, because I was just so fed up with high school by then.
Well, did you have like classmates who were dropping out?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We had some that, like, our junior year that had, they lived, like, in the rural area of Jasper, like Ludville, out in that area, Hill City.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, they just, you know, dropped off the scene. But always in our family, like I said, my mom and dad, the expectation was get an education at all costs, you know, whatever it takes, you're going to get an education. So I did the technical school and took up electronics, and that was good for me because it was challenging. So I was not bored.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go to technical school all day, and then I would go to the high school for football and for you know, other sports.
So you were completely occupied, like
yeah.
you had stuff
yeah.
going on all day.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me about your graduation and then and what you did after high school.
When we graduated, there was I had a big whopping 129 of us, I think. That was a big class.
Huge class.
So there was about 129 of us that graduated. And believe it or not, there was only two blacks in my graduating class. Me and one other guy who's since deceased now, you know.
No girls?
No girls.
Wow.
No girls.
Do you have a sense of, like, the class before you and the class after you, if there were more black students?
It wasn't much more, if any, you know. Because thinking the class after me may have had four or five, but my particular class only had, there was only two of them. So, you know, that was different. People would look at my yearbook and they're like, where are all the blacks at? I said, well, it is what it is, you know. It's just the day and time we were living in, so. And, but I mean, it wasn't a big thing. No one really called it out or, you know, no one ever questioned it. It just happened, you know.
Yeah.
It's just the way it was. So, I remember we graduated on a Friday night on the football field.
Okay. Do you know, I'm going to sort of ask you about such a small number. I mean, do you know of people leaving Pickens County for, I don't know, Marietta or Atlanta or other places at any time, moving for more opportunity? I mean, your dad went to Lockheed to work every day. Were there others who just moved closer? So the number of black residents sort of dwindled next to the number of white residents?
During that particular time, it didn't happen. It wasn't a mad, you know, migration. It probably started in the 80s, I guess. I graduated in 84, so it probably started like in the later 80s when people started, you know, opportunities started coming available, people started leaving the area. You know, people would, you know, as their kids graduated from the high school there, then they would see no reason to stay and they would just, you know, move on.
Places do you know where they were?
Mostly in Atlanta, Marietta. That's where I remember a lot of them moving to. It's very rare that you hear someone moving out of state, you know, from that area.
Was it any family members or just friends of y'all's? I mean,
both. It was a little bit of both.
Did your parents stay in Pickens?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are they living?
No, they both deceased.
Okay, so they stayed there until they passed away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let's move on to college. Where did you start?
I started out in college at Murfreesboro, North Carolina. It's a college named Chauhan College, and I played football there for 2 years.
Was that why you chose to go? Was it like a football?
Yeah. It was kind of football opened the door for me there.
Okay.
So I chose, you know, that school. It's about an 8-hour drive, a little over 8-hour commute. So I only came home like Christmas, maybe spring break. Rest of the time, I stayed there. Thanksgiving, I stayed, you know, in the dorm, in the infirmary there, because we had to get out of the dorm. So, but I did, after that first year, made friends with a guy from Greensboro, North Carolina. So I went home with him for Thanksgiving and for maybe the long weekend or something.
I mean, what was the change like going from Pickens to, is Chauhan in a big city or?
It's in.
Well, how big is Murfreesboro?
Murfreesboro's a small town, probably about the size of Rome, maybe less than that, maybe about 50,000 or maybe less. It's right on the coast. So it was real close to Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of tucked away in the corner up there in North Carolina. We, our football team, it was a junior college starting out. Now it's a 4-year school, but starting out when I was there, it was a junior college. So we played a lot of other small colleges of that notable size.
And it's a Baptist college, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, what was the environment like? Was it more conservative or were you able to, you know, be a college student?
You were able to be a college student, even though it was Baptist. Was it a dry campus? No. You know, unfortunately.
Not in practice, yeah.
And I remember my first class I had was called keyboarding, typing. So here I am, you know, big football player sitting in the keyboarding class at 8 o'clock in the morning, hearing a typewriter, you know. So I had to take, that was one of my classes, and because it was Baptist, we had to take religion classes. So I had to take intro to, Old Testament, New Testament. May have been a theology class we had to take, or church history,
mm-hmm.
the the class that we had to take is, you know, those were basically required of every student that went there. Was and we it, had to go to chapel.
Oh, so regularly?
Yeah, on every Wednesday we had to go to chapel.
Was it mostly white or mixed?
It was mixed. And that was the first time I had been exposed to students who looked like me, that many students at that particular time, you know. So they could tell, according to them, they could tell that I was at a predominantly white school.
That you had been.
Yeah, that I had been, yeah.
What? Why?
I think it was just maybe in the, I guess the way I talked, the way I presented myself, mm-hmm. you know. They could tell, you know.
What would they say?
They said, oh, you know, you went to a white school, so you don't understand what we're talking about or dealing with. Yeah. And, you know, it really hadn't crossed my mind that there was a difference like that. But yeah, I guess I could see what they were saying, you know, to some point, some respect, you know. So,
did you associate more with your, like, black classmates, or were you just, you know, friends with everybody?
I was friends with everyone. Because yeah. a lot of my teammates, you know, of course, we were, you know, good friends with a lot of my teammates. But then I did have some friends outside of you know, being teammates, and I was pretty versatile in the music also. I could relate to, you know, black music, white music. I mean, I love all different forms, all different genres of music. Mm-hmm. So I guess that kind of, you know, with the black friends, they kind of like, how do you know that song? I said, well, you got to remember, because, you know, in Jasper, I mean, we grew up country music. We heard country music a lot. You know, so.
Why? So in Jasper, was it, I mean, purely country, or were there other genres?
There were other genres as well, because, you know, we picked up 96 rock out of Atlanta. Then, of course, you know, we had the country stations, as they say, you know. So to me, it was a good balance, you know, real well-rounded, because I knew a little bit of everything, right. You know, so.
Well, you got an associate's degree there.
Yes.
And then what did you do after completing that degree?
Once I completed that degree, I was came home that summer, was going to transfer to Tennessee State. And then I had a car accident while I was doing that summer. And the doctor told me I couldn't play football anymore. Mm-hmm. So, because I was going to Tennessee State to play football, continue to play football. So when I told my mom what the doctor said, she said, oh, well, she said, you know, you're going to complete your education. You're going to finish school. So at that time, I applied at Georgia Southern and Berry. And I was accepted to both, but I chose to go to Berry. Because, you know, I'd been away from home, you know, that 8-hour commute. And then when I found out Georgia Southern was another 6 hours, I'm thinking, well, you know, really don't want to, you know, put my parents through that again, right. You know, so, and it wouldn't be too cool. So I ended up going to Berry, and that proved to be the best choice for me.
Why is that?
Because, you know, Berry is such a small school with a good tradition. You know, the morals and values that, you know, are taught there, the work-study program, you know, that's there at Berry was good. It's a good foundation that was, you know, laying for me. And then, you know, because who would have known, you know, a few years later I would be starting to you know, become a minister, called to be a minister. So it was good, you know, to be there at Berry for that as well.
Well, where did that calling come from?
Well, there was a lot of people in the community, a lot of the older people that saw it at a young age. Because I was not squeaky clean, but I didn't really follow the crowd. You know, if kids were going to do something that I knew was bad, I kind of, you know, drifted, went, you know, I'd go home. You know, so. And then, you know, being raised in the church there and having such, you know, strong parents that were in the faith, spent a lot of time, you know, doing various things in the church. Always being called on to read scripture or to pray or to recite, you know, Bible verses or to help in some capacity in the church. So a lot of the, a couple of them said, you know, you're going to be a preacher one day. And I'm like, yeah, right, sure. Okay.
I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot of children sort of think that when they're young.
Yeah,
you know, that's
Well, like I was sitting in the classroom one day and said, I think I'm going to be a preacher when I get older. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the furthest thing from my thoughts, from my mind. But I guess at Berry, I really didn't think that much about it either, you know, during that particular time.
Yeah, what were you studying?
I was an industrial technology major. So it's more like industrial manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I did a lot of drafting, design. Then I was an art minor, so I did painting, you know, things like that. Because at Berry, that particular time, you had to have a major and a minor. So I knew math was one of my weaknesses, so I didn't go the business route because I knew I couldn't make it in accounting. I didn't even try it, didn't even attempt it, you know. So I chose to be an art minor, so my minor was in art because it kind of, you know, I could do pencil drawings pretty good, so I was able to survive, you know, being an art major, I mean minor. So I graduated in 89 from Berry. But I'd met my wife in the process during that time. And we got married in November of 89, and then I graduated in that December of 89. So.
And what did you do after graduation?
And after that, I kind of just searched around for jobs, did little odd jobs here and there. And probably 92 is when I started working for a Japanese company in Rome. And it was a new company that just moved in. They made parts for heavy equipment machinery, like the excavators, wheel loaders, forklifts. They were steel manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for them for about 24 years.
What did you do?
I was a supervisor. Manufacturing supervisor with them. Started out working in the shipping department and just kind of worked my way up.
Do you think you would have stayed in Rome if you hadn't gotten that job? I mean, were you already like, I like this place, I'll look for a job here?
Well, I've been coming to Rome all my life because my mom had a brother that lived there.
Right.
So, and one thing about Rome, it was had that small town atmosphere like Jasper. It was bigger than Jasper, but you still knew people. You could still walk down the street or go in a restaurant or something, and you'd actually know people. You know, people would know you, and it had good family atmosphere. And I tried to find jobs outside of Rome, but nothing ever really turned up. And my wife, she was working there at a bank, so she's pretty much established there because she went to work right out of high school. So she had, at that time, she'd been there about 5 years, I guess, 4 years at that bank. So, you know, we were looking at that, and she was, you know, things were going well with her on her job. So, but I was, you know, just looking for something in manufacturing. So that came about because at that particular time, Rome had, GE was a big manufacturer there in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
They had a couple textile companies there, but you know, during that time, no one was really hiring. So, and then GE, shortly after I graduated, GE moved to Mexico, so they shut that place down. So it's good I didn't get a job with them.
And then, when did you go to seminary?
Went to seminary. I started there in 92, probably 95. Because between 92 and 95, I was kind of wrestling with, you know, my calling to minister, to preach. And I finally, you know, accepted it, answered that calling, and started preaching. The church that I'm pastoring now is my wife's home church. So she was already a member there. Her mother's, you know, member there, her sister, their families. So it was in 95 when I started seminary. And I'd work full-time, go to seminary full-time. That was every Monday and Tuesday night from 6 to 9:30, 10 o'clock. So it was full time. And then we started having kids. We were probably married about 8 years before we started having a family.
Yeah. So you have grown children then now?
Yeah, I have two that I have one that she'll be graduating in May, and then one that graduated from here. So, and then our son is a senior. So,
and the church that you're still pastor
there. Yes.
So that's been, almost 25 years.
Yes.
24, mm-hmm. 25 years.
Yeah.
How would you compare it to Mount Calvary?
It's much like Mount Calvary. It's traditional. Mm-hmm. A lot of our worship style is about the same. You know, we have the deacons that start our devotion, choirs that sing. So it's basically the same format that I'm accustomed to, that I grew up with. And it's by the same scale as far as people. Like I say, it's a family church as well, kind of like Mount Calvary, well, much like Mount Calvary. You know, everyone at Mount Calvary, for the most part, were intertwined. They were related some kind of way, you know. So that's why a lot of people have really had to move away from the area because, you know, they're cousins and.
Do you think that closeness kind of?
yeah, you know.
Everybody's always checking up on you.
Yeah. So Flat Rock, same way. Everyone in that church pretty much related to each other, you know, some point, some way. Because it was sitting in an area also that was kind of a predominantly black area of Rome back in, you know, the days. Because that church is about 151 years old. Started in 1870, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it has quite a history.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was it started by, people who had been enslaved?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how long do you think you will continue to be pastor there? I mean, it's a quarter of a century now.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I'm 55 now.
Well, you're young, so
yeah,
I mean, is that
yeah.
something that you would continue doing as long as you're able?
I think so. My wife and I, we talked about it, and, as long as, they still have a desire, and you know, we'll be there, far as that goes.
And you've traveled pretty widely, right?
Yes, yeah.
And what reason for traveling?
When I worked for the Japanese company, I went to Japan for some time because, you know, that's where our parent company was at. We have a parent company there and our sister companies were there. So I went and visited those companies and, you know, toured around, you know, there. And then during the time that I was there, we had two startups in Mexico. Had one in Reynosa. So I went to Reynosa when we started that plant, that facility. Then that one shut down. And then probably within a few years, we opened up another company in Monterey. So, you know, went to Monterey for, you know, some time there. And so, you know, we did that. Most of my travel during that time was, you know, business. But then, you know, we've been on a lot of vacations, on cruises, you know, so we've been around the Caribbean a lot.
So to sort of finish up, I want to ask you some questions sort of about Pickens County today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you live in Rome. I know your parents have passed, as you said, but your sister still lives there.
Yeah, she's still there.
So is it mostly her that brings you back when you go?
Yes. And, you know, my sister, she lived in this area for a long time. She lived in, because when I was in elementary school, I remember after she graduated, she stayed in Jasper about a year or two. Then she moved down to this area. So she worked in this area a lot. She lived down here because it was always a big thing on the weekend to be able to come and, you know, stay with her, spend time down here with her in the big city,
yeah.
You know, at that time. So, and she moved back. Probably, I'm trying to remember. I don't know. She would have to tell you when she moved back to Jasper. But yeah, because she, you know, like I say, she lived down here for a long time.
And this is Karen McClure Benson.
Yeah,
talking about.
Yeah.
Since we've referenced her now multiple
mm-hmm.
times.
Mm-hmm.
So how often do you return to Pickens today?
Well, my dad just recently died in November, so I would try to make it, you know, twice every couple months or so, or once a month, just depending on what was happening, what was going on, you know, how he was doing, or, you know, things of that nature. So, but that's what, like I said, that's what brings me back now, is wanting to visit her, and I still have some other family members that live there in the Tate area.
Does your sister live in your parents' home?
No, she lives in her own home. Her and her husband purchased a home because they lived with my parents for a little while, and then they purchased their own home.
So the area where your parents' home, is it still there?
Yes.
And are some of the other homes, are they all still there, that little area where you grew up?
The house I grew up in is not there anymore. It's it was bought out by it was a tire company that it backed up to. So once we once my dad sold and moved out, they bought it from him, and then they demolished the house so they could expand their tire business.
So, I mean, aside from the house being gone, what other changes have you seen in the area?
I've seen tremendous change and growth in Jasper. I mean, it went from two little grocery stores to, you know, Walmart. I mean, all the major chains and everything in there. You know, Home Depot, Walmart, all the fast food chains. Because, see, you had an option of, Speed Burger that's there. And I remember when the Dairy Queen came.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much your only options, other than there was a few mom and pop shops downtown Jasper, but now, I mean, you got everything there.
Was that from your, you know, the 70s and 80s, was that Main Street always occupied with businesses, or were there times when it was kind of dormant, you know?
I mean, it's pretty much held its own. You know, it's been able to hold its own, because I remember, you know, there's always a couple of drugstores in town, furniture stores, the paper, the Progress was there in town. We had the banks. Back in the day, it was, you know, Tasco, which was like dry goods. There was another store there, a couple of restaurants. And even before that, my dad used to tell me about it. You know, there was a hotel or a motel on Main Street at one particular time, you know.
So I guess with the big box stores now, I mean, the older folks were right about 575.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the edge of the suburbs now, mm-hmm, for metro area.
Yeah. It started, once that interstate opened up, it just started pushing its way. Because I remember in Tate and Jasper, we would think going to Canton was something big. Because that was the next biggest city to us, you know, compared to being in Jasper, you know. Because I remember, you know, now people are doing this online shopping. It's really nothing new, because in Jasper, all we had was Sears.
Yeah.
You know, you got the big, thick Sears catalog, and you'd flip through it, and you'd, you know, order something out of Sears, or Sears had a little pickup store there in Jasper. So they would deliver your items to that Sears pickup store, and then you go to there, you know, and pick it up. So
yeah. Kind of like a Amazon distribution.
Yeah. So it's really nothing new, you know.
Yeah. Well, before we finish up, are there any other stories of Pickens or your childhood that you'd like to share?
I think, and I know you mentioned one time about the log cabin.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember when they relocated that log cabin to where the elementary school was.
Oh yeah.
And there was the guy, he was assistant principal. His name was Tom Quinton.
Talk about him.
He put in a lot of time there. He was if I ever had a BFF, it would have been Mr. Quinton, because he just took a lot of time with me. Because like I say, I didn't, at that particular time, we didn't live that far from the school, so a lot of times I would just walk kind of like through the woods to the school, and Mr. Quinton was always there, because he was he dealt with art. He painted, did pottery, just different things like that. So I'd spend a lot of time with him, just kind of shadowing him. And he was a wealth of knowledge. He was very well versed in those books about Bear Rabbit and Bear Fox. Mm-hmm. Was it Uncle Tom's
cabin? Uncle Remus?
Uncle Remus.
Yeah.
I remember he would come and read to our class. We always looked forward to him coming and reading to the class, because he would always read one of those stories, you know, from Bear Fox, Bear. I mean, he would get in character, you know.
I've heard some recordings of his voice.
Oh, yeah.
It's that sort of thick, you know, it's a good accent.
Yeah. And I just remember spending a lot of time with him after school as well. So not just during school, but even after school.
Yeah.
Because he was the assistant principal. So, but I remember a lot of the stories that he would tell. And we just had a lot of good times with him.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
if there's nothing else, I think we'll conclude there.
All right.